Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. As we look outside, winter's still here, but, you know, it's not going to be too long before you know it. The water is going to be there, and the ice is going to be gone, and we're going to be able to paddle and canoe and kayak and have a great time in the outdoors. We can still do that right now with snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, but I'm kind of looking forward to getting out and doing a little kayaking and maybe some canoeing. Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and he's committed to helping whether you're an expert or whether you're a newbie get the most out of your canoeing or kayaking experiences. We've got an event called Canoecopia that's coming up. It's the world's largest paddle sport exposition, and it's certainly if you're a paddler would like to be. This is an event that you probably want to take in. Give us a call with your own questions or comments, though. If you have a question about canoeing, are you a paddler? Do you want to become one? Canoeing or kayaking? Questions about those sports? Call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question, comment, or a photo there. And Darren, as always, pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. You've been a paddler forever, pretty much. How'd you become a paddling evangelist?
Oh, wow. I moved to Wisconsin from California, lived in the desert, and when I got here, I fell in love with the state, you know, after I fell in love with my wife, who's from Madison, and just started spending more and more time out on the water, and got into it a little bit more. Then I started paddling a little bit as an undergrad, and then I went to grad school in upstate New York and did some kayaking there, and then I moved back to Madison and had a real job for a while, and started working in retail 10 years ago about the place. And
it's been 10 years already.
Yeah, 11 almost. No, wow. 10. Yeah, 10. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Rutabaga Canoes. And we've been doing this Canoecopia for a long, long time.
Yeah. This is my 23rd Canoecopia.
Oh, yeah. Man. And it is the world's largest paddle sports exposition. How did that get started? That's kind of and it's grown into something.
Yeah, it started as meet the folks who build the boats, and the former owner just had some folks come in with some trailers, you know, like half a dozen boats on each of them, and people would come down, and it just kind of slowly grew, and I took it over in 94. And it's when they bulldozed the Dane County Forum and built the Alliant Energy Center. And it got to be a little too big to do on the back of an envelope. So we started making it more organized. And I've got the greatest staff in the world. They all take a part of it. And we just kind of run it. And it seems to work. So we keep doing it.
Yeah. And March 8th?
8th through 10th. Yep.
8th through the 10th. And I there is so much. If you've never been there, it's an almost mind-boggling experience to go. I've been many times and really enjoy it. What do you recommend for an experienced paddler to do and see at Canoecopia?
Whatever they want. Actually, the speakers are probably one of the things that we work the hardest on to make sure there's a good variety across the board for people who are novices all the way up to experts. But if you look at the presentation list, there's 170 presentations. They should be able to find something they want. Everything from paddling in exotic places, Grand Canyon trips, paddling in France, paddling in Vietnam, paddling in the Greenland's Riviera, which always cracks me up. But Greenland has a Riviera.
It does.
It's not quite like the one in France, but there's lots of great places to paddle around this world, and a lot of people who do that are going to be here.
So, and obviously you're going to be talking to experts, and they're going to have probably some great photography. I'm sure there's going to be some wonderful.
Yeah. Well, there's actually three presentations just on photography. Actually three presenters. So there's more than that about how to take better pictures outdoors, because everybody goes on a trip and they come back and they look at their pictures and say, this isn't what it looked like when I was there, you know?
Yeah.
And as you become more skilled at photography, you can capture not just the picture, but the emotions.
Yeah, and that's something that's very hard to do. And for those, it'd be fun to go to see those just because of the examples that they're sure to have.
Right. You know, and one of the gentlemen is named David Morlock, and he's up from in Minnesota, but he's a wedding photographer as well as a wildlife photographer. And he says those things overlap quite nicely because you're trying to catch, you know, the emotion and the action of a moment. But his presentation is he'll show a picture, and then he'll say, so why doesn't this work or why does this work? And he'll show that. But then he'll get into a little bit about post-processing, like, okay, how do you take a picture that's really good and make it great? You know, what can you do with Photoshop? You know, not to remove trees or add trees or things like that, but just variations and
lighting and darkening.
Yeah.
And
yeah, exactly. And how to do it wrong and how to do it right. So.
Oh, man, that sounds fun. Darren Bush, our guest today, is talking with him. Today we're reviewing Canoocopia, of course, that's coming up on March 8th through the 10th, and talking with him about that. But certainly he's more than happy to answer your questions about paddling, about kayaking, about canoes, about the equipment itself. And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. That's the place to go for that. You can post a question or a comment, or hey, maybe you've got a kind of a cool photo from kayaking or canoeing that you want to show us, and that'd be fun. I should put my wife. It was a great shot. I've got a great shot of her carrying. A canoe across the isthmus in Matheson.
Yeah, I wonder what she was doing. Yeah.
All by herself, carrying it up to the square at Madison, and then down the square and back from Lake Mendota over to Lake Monona.
Oh, boy.
A lot of fun. Photos, go ahead. Post it on our Facebook page at the Larry Mehler Show. In the meantime, let's go to Cheryl in La Crosse, who has a question. Hi Cheryl.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Question about the fitting of kayaks. I tried kayaking for the first time last summer with a group, borrowed kayak, and afterwards I had some pretty intense hip and leg pain from the way I was having to sit. Is that typical of kayaks where you have to sit kind of with your knees frogged out and your feet kind of on their side, or did I just have a bad-fitting boat?
I think you just had a bad-fitting boat, yeah.
Okay.
There should be no pain involved in this sport,
okay,
unless it's self-inflicted, yeah, no.
Actually, I can relate on. I went, Darren has a kayaking evening that you can sign up for, and our family did that, and I was fitted with a kayak that really fit. And I went out and we kayaked for quite a ways and a few hours and came back and it was perfect. And then a month or so later, we went to a lake and rented a kayak there, and that one did not fit. And it was like, oh, man, if that had been my first experience with a kayak, I would have said, you know what, I'm never going to do this again.
And that terrifies me.
any tips? For, you know, I'm not in the market to buy one, but I'd like, this is a business that does group outings, for me to try and get fitted better next time.
Well, I mean, it helps to sit in the boat for a while to make sure it's in the right position, but make sure the back band's adjusted. And one of the problems with some of the less expensive boats, especially for liveries, is they don't want a lot of moving parts because moving parts break. So the seats tend to be very simplistic and very one-size-fit-all, so you need to be a little careful with that. But there's some things you can do. Sometimes rolling up a piece of foam or something like that, we use a Therm-a-Rest mattress or something under your knees will help. A little bit of foam padding on the seat might not hurt. But it depends how adjustable the seat is. But that's definitely,
Yeah, the seat was the problem for me. Yeah, thank you very much for calling.
All right, Sarah. I'll try again. Thanks.
Yeah, appreciate your call. Please do try again. Tim in Darlington.
Hi, Larry.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? Love your programs that you do.
Thank you.
had been a canoer, you know, in scouts, explorer scouts through the years, went up into the boundary waters, have owned a canoe. Now I'm sort of getting the itch to buy another one. But I also sort of have an inkling to build a cedar strip. Is it worth my time to come up to the Canoeacopia? And are there going to be people around that can sort of give me some insight or some information about doing that? Or whether I should just go to some sort of a fiberglass Kevlar, you know, and get back into canoeing that way?
That's a really good question. It's not really an either or. I think a lot of people build because they enjoy building. And it's not, well, you have to look at it in a different way. If you count your time, it'll be the most expensive boat you've ever built, right?
Right. And to me, it's a piece of artwork when I'm done. You know, that's the thing I see. I know it's going to be a challenge, but.
And some people don't like to paddle their artwork. And that's okay. The problem. You do a really nice job. You don't want to put it in the water. There are people there that you can talk to. McCormick Lumber actually comes from the local lumber company from Madison, who does a really good job with wood. And they can talk to you about the wood. And right across from them is the Wisconsin the Wooden Canoe Heritage Association, Wisconsin chapter, is a group dedicated to wood boat building. So those people bump their heads and forget more than I'll ever know. So. Mm-hmm. They're really good.
All right.
Yeah, and they're... I'm sorry, go ahead, Tim.
No, I've never been to, you know, to one of the
Features
out there, and so I need to try to get there because it sounds like it's a great event. I know I have people in the Darlington area that have been there, and I think even go and have a booth, so
yeah.
I'm looking forward to coming.
Good.
Well, good. And you can go online if you want. You might want to take a closer look, too, at some of the classes or presentations, I guess we should say.
Sure. Yeah, if you go to it's canoeacopia.com, and you can click on presentations, and it'll give you the whole menu of who's speaking. And you can also see who the exhibitors are and make some notes there. But yeah, people there like to share. If there's somebody who has built a wooden boat, even if they're just there as a as a consumer. Good luck getting them to shut up about it.
All right.
People love talking about that stuff.
Thanks.
Very, very good. Well, thanks for the information. Larry, keep up the good work.
All right, Tim. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking canoeing and kayaking today with Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. They have Canoeacopia. It's a great event coming up on March 8th through the 10th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, I think it's like 4 to 9, Friday afternoon from 4 to 9, then Saturday 9 to 6, Sunday 10 to 5. So there's lots to see and do at that event, talking with him about it. And wondering about you, if you canoe or kayak, what is it about being on the water that you really enjoy? What's your most memorable paddling experience? We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you have some questions about kayaks or canoes or paddles to select. Maybe it's about how do you move those canoes or kayaks from one lake to another or from one river to another. Those are some questions that we can certainly talk with you about. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And you can post a photo, question, or a comment right there. We'd love to hear from you. Are there any new paddling products that you're really excited about out there now, Darren?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I'm excited about a lot of things. There's some cool stuff coming around. It's not like, water's still pretty much the way it was always, so boats are still pointing at both ends. And, you know, for the most part, there's not really huge changes, but lots of innovation, and mostly in materials. You're going to see a lot of materials that are lighter and stronger, a lot of technology that allows boats to be a little bit more user-friendly. A lot of work has been done on seats, which is really interesting, what Cheryl said before.
Yeah.
if you can't sit in it, it's you know, it's worthless.
Yeah.
So there's at least three companies that have new seat options this year in their boats, and they're super comfortable, super adjustable. One of the companies worked with, not Herman Miller, but one of those companies that does the ergonomic stuff to come up with a really cool, you know, adjustable but durable seat. So you can sit in it for hours and not have your legs fall asleep. So
what's the, cool. which company is that?
Hurricane has a new seat.
Hurricane?
Wilderness Systems has a new seat. Dagger has a new seat. I'm trying to remember.
Wow.
A bunch of them.
Jack and Mason has a question for you or a comment. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Good.
Sorry, we're not going to be able to make it down to Canucopia this year, but I just wanted to make an observation. A number of years ago, we bought a wooden kayak kit through Canucopia, made one for Mary, my wife, and it has just been wonderful. It's light. It's fast. It's Lake Superior worthy. It's just been really great. And Canucopia is just amazing. There's something for everybody there, I think, in the presentations and the rest.
Oh, wonderful, Jack. I'm sorry you're not going to be able to make it this year.
Well, we have a new grandbaby, and we're spending time kind of with her and taking care of her. And,
well, that's fun, too.
yeah, absolutely. So keep up the good work. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jack.
Cool.
You get a little of the, I'm sure you hear this a lot.
Yeah, I do. and it always feels great. We have two companies there this year that do wooden boat kits. Chesapeake Lightcraft has been coming for years. And then Pygmy Kayaks, they're out of the West Coast. So we have both coasts represented. And they're really good folks. They're all really good folks. So.
And there, Jack bought one there, and obviously you go to Canucopia, you can spend lots of money there if you want to, or none,
You can go there for the weekend and listen to speakers and get inspired. You can go and spend lots of money. I kind of prefer both, you know. But I can keep doing it, right?
And we've got it's $15 for a day pass, $25 for a weekend pass, and $17 and under free. So,
well, except today, this is the last day you can buy discounted passes online.
Ah, okay.
So if they go to Canucopia.com and click on buy tickets, they're discounted.
Oh,
so we turned it off Sunday night, and we got so many emails. From people who are waiting for the last minute, I said, let's leave it on a couple more days. So we're at midnight tonight, we're done. Okay, we're cutting everybody off.
Okay. So today would be a good day to get online.
Today would be a good day to get online. Yep.
Okay. Aaron in Bessemer, Michigan, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. I presently own 2 10-foot kayaks. I took my son out a few times, and he can handle the 10-foot kayak all right, but I'm looking on getting him his own kayak. And I was wondering, you know, he's about 4, 5, 9 years old.
Yeah.
I was wondering if I should get him, you know, something more size for him, or get something, you know, in the 10-foot range that he can grow into.
Well, I hear this a lot because it's a significant purchase, you know, to buy a boat. But what I tell people is the same thing. Buying a boat that they can grow into is like buying them a pair of hiking boots they can grow into.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to give them the best experience. They might be able to do it. I mean, the good news about kids' boats is that they really don't depreciate that much. So there's always someone looking for one. So if you buy a new one, turning it over when your child gets older will be easy. And if you can find a used one, you know, it's not going to break the bank.
So you're saying size it. What size would you for? Because of course, our daughter
Emily's going to need one. Yeah. it's not so much how long they are as how deep and wide.
Okay.
You know, so the kids' boats. There's one from Perception called the Acadia Scout. Wilderness Systems has one called the Tsunami SP. Perception, I have another one, I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, there's a lot of kid boats that will fit, you know, a 9 to 12 year old very nicely, and then they can step up into an adult boat after that.
Okay.
All
right, thanks, Aaron. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And so are they a little wider or a little narrower?
They're a little narrower.
Narrower, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem with kids, if you get a really deep boat, they got to hold their paddle, you know, up like near their shoulders so they can clear the cockpit of the boat, which is, if you imagine as an adult sitting in a kayak that's 3 feet deep, how are you going to like that, right?
I mean,
you got to think about it that way.
That very good point. Pat in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I had a question regarding the oars or the paddles. I have corrosive arthritis, so I can't grip anything. Is there any system where you've got gloves with Velcro and then a wider paddle? Because I just can't hang on to the paddle.
Really interesting question.
And I have an interesting answer for you. If you can get down to Cunicopia, there's a gentleman you need to meet named Kevin Carr, C-A-R-R. And he has a company that's called Chosen Valley Creating Ability, CVCA. And his youngest daughter has a disability. So he has spent the last 10 years of his life developing product for people with disabilities. Everything from you know, high quadriplegia to people with grip strength issues. So he has a solution to your problem. I don't know what it is because it depends on the severity and some other things like that. But that's what he does. That's his passion.
Oh, so he could look. Yeah, so if Pat was there, he could look.
He'd look at her. He'd say, hold this paddle. He'd say, okay, we can fix this. He's a great guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, great
guy. Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
And it's, again, what's his name?
Kevin Carr.
Kevin Carr.
C-A-R-R.
So go online to the Cunicopia website.
Yeah, if you go
ahead and find out,
yeah.
You can see where he's even located at the...
Yep, there's a map. You can click on the map and see where he is. But if Kevin's listening to this, and he might be, because he's a big public radio fan, look for Pat.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling, Pat. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mealer Show. We'd love to hear from you, so give us a call or post on Facebook page or email us as well. We'd love to hear from you. If you want to get into paddle sports without making a huge investment or a big investment in your own equipment, are there opportunities around the state I know there are some good opportunities out there for canoeing and kayaking rentals and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin's actually, we're quite blessed with a lot of outfitters.
Yeah.
For a state our size, there's a lot of people out there that rent. As I said, you want to make sure you're getting, you know, the good stuff. You know, reputable outfitter will have up-to-date gear. If you're looking at, you know, a bunch of 20-year-old boats that... the seats are loose and there's full of spiders. You probably want to move on, but renting is definitely a great place to start. I think more than half the people that I know who paddle got started through renting, usually with a friend who had a boat already.
Yeah, I see, renting or just going out with a friend.
Well, or both. You know,
or hey, both.
I got a boat. You want to go? It's like, well, we have to go find one for you because I don't have two.
Well, Brian in Madison has a question. Hi, Brian.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, had a question about buying my first boat. I've played around a little bit in other people's kayaks. I'm really eager to get one of my own, but don't really have a whole lot of money to spend $1,000 or $800 on a boat. Thought about building one, but I'm not really sure where to begin with that either. So if you could throw me a little bit of advice on that.
I would just ask you a question. What do you want to do? Because that makes the difference in what you get.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you see yourself going?
On lakes or rivers?
Lakes,
or?
Probably. Probably looking at a sea kayak. I don't know.
Okay. So you're looking
part
at
the problem.
Looking at bigger water then? So Lake
Maybe.
Michigan, Lake Superior, Lake Winnebago, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you want a little bit longer, a little bit more seaworthy, a little bit faster boat, maybe.
Sure.
Well, buying a new one for a new good sea kayak is going to be more than $1,000. So a couple other options are to find a used one, which isn't a bad idea at all. It's actually a really good idea because someone else is, you know, broken it in for you. You're not going to wince the first time you scratch it. And that can be a good way to go. The danger of putting the price as sort of the limit is you end up with maybe buying a boat that's not quite right. If that's the case, take the $800 or whatever you got and stick it in a safety deposit box for a couple more years and then come back when we can get you actually the right thing. But I've seen a lot of people buy a boat at a garage sale and then come in and say, I don't know what I was thinking.
No, what was I thinking?
But building is another really good opportunity. Kits are not super expensive, but like I said, there's two people there you can talk to. One is talk to Pygmy Kayak, and the other is talk to John at CLC, Chesapeake Light Craft. They both have different types of craft, and they can probably hone in on one that would work for you. But it's not super hard to build. Their manuals are step-by-step. So if you can bake a cake, you can build a kayak.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. It's kind of the nice thing about the Canucopia is just the opportunity to see so many different people who possibly are honing in perhaps on the same thing. You wouldn't be able to see them otherwise in person.
Right, and getting everybody under one roof is like a family reunion for us. I mean, 23 years. And this is the first year in 23 that I haven't had my kids there. My son left home this morning, so I'm officially an empty nester right now.
Oh.
And I'm going to cry now. So let's keep going.
All right, let's go to Tanya in Chippewa Falls. Tanya, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. My question had to do with children and safety and kayaking. I was able to take my son out last summer. He's 7 now. And my only concern is that if he tips, is there ever a chance of them being pinned where they can't get out of the kayak? He's 7, he swims, but it's not like they're strong swimmers at that age.
Sure. Yeah. Generally, the problem when you tip a kayak over is trying to stay in if you want to roll it, not trying to get out of it. Mm. Most people, when they say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get stuck there, you don't really get stuck. Now, there is the spray skirt, which you can put on some kayaks, which holds you in the boat a little bit more. But for kids, I find the problem isn't getting trapped. The problem is they jump out and and get kind of squirrely and have fun that way. So I don't think there's any problem with him getting stuck in the boat as long as he's not wearing a spray skirt.
But he and is wearing a jacket.
Oh, of
life
course.
Jacket.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's...
Yes, of course a life jacket. I've seen the kind that they might be aimed towards children more, but where they sit on them versus actually having like a dugout where you can sit in it.
Right, yeah, and sit-on-top kayaks definitely have a place. They don't make that many that are very small. I mean, you're talking about a single kayak or a double?
A single.
A single, yeah. You won't find many because they tend to be heavier and a little more sluggish. And for a kid, especially a younger kid, you want to have them have as efficient boat as you can so they can keep up with you. But, yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about entrapment. I'd worry more about just keeping a PFD on them, keeping them hydrated and keep them full of sunscreen, because that's what really causes problems.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Tanya, for calling. We turn next to Bill in Wausau. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I tuned in late, and I like the idea that you just mentioned a caller or two ago about renting, but we were in our 70s, and I think we bought our first canoe in 1968, and we've not used them in the last couple of years because of back issues and weight and all this. And an older friend of mine says, you know, you buy a lighter canoe and that gets heavy too. But what options are there when you don't have the strength that you used to have to tote the canoe? And, we left the canoe, we can still paddle, but carrying the things around is a problem for us.
Sure. And that's not something that I haven't heard before. That's a big concern. I mean, the lighter the canoe, the more you'll use it. That's certainly the case. You know, usually car topping is a problem, getting it up on top of your car and down. But there's other options. If you're traveling with your boat, you can get a trailer they make small canoe trailers now, and we have three or four companies that sell them because they're very popular. So your canoe is never more than a couple of feet off the ground.
Would be nice.
So you can back it right up to where you want to launch it and just, you know, kind of drag it off. That works. And then there's wheels that you can put on your boat to just wheel it down to the beach. So there's lots of ways to make it easier to move, but start with a lighter boat. That's key.
Yeah. How light can you get these days? Well, within reason. I mean, you're not going to spend maybe $10,000 or anything.
No, but for about $2,500, you can get a 36-pound boat.
36 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And two people in.
I think our first 17-foot aluminum one was probably 80 pounds.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right.
And frankly, it's at $2,500 isn't, well, it's money for sure, but.
I'll tell you a small parable. So I had a gentleman and his wife come in, 15 years ago, wonderful people. They had just retired. He was a retired Methodist minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "We need to get a lighter canoe." And I showed them this canoe and they blanched and said, "Oh my gosh, that's really expensive." I said, "What do you have now?" They said, "We have a Grumman." I said, "Great. How many times have you paddled in the past 5 years?"
Yeah.
They said, "Zero." I said, "How about the past 10 years?" He said, "Zero." I said, "That's a really expensive thing to keep your sawhorses dry in the backyard." You know, it's times per use, not cost. If you look at it that way, it does make a huge difference in how you perceive it.
And they were much happier.
Well, it's funny because I saw them a couple of days later. They brought me a gift, a little card they made for me.
Oh.
And I said, "How many times have you been out?" She said, "Every night since we got it." They live right over by Lake Wingra.
Oh.
So they paddled more in the week after they got the boat than they did in the previous 10 years. So that tells you how important a light boat is.
What are the length and width of a boat like that?
16 feet, 36 inches wide.
Okay. What kind of brands are you talking about?
That would be the one I'm thinking of is a Winona Adirondack.
Okay.
And very, very nice boat.
I'll have to come around and talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We've got a couple of them that have been safe in the shed for years now.
Yeah.
Well, they're worth at least 25 cents a pound. Actually, go find a scout troop. They would love you forever.
I think so. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bill. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, I think you got a happy couple coming up to see you. Gene and Oshkosh, hello.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Larry, I was reading a Muskie magazine today.
Ooh.
Hey, pretty soon. The answer to my question is not probably going to sell a kayak. We live on Lake Winnebago, but I'm very old, and ever since before being married, I bought a Lumacraft CO-17 canoe.
Mm-hmm.
And that canoe, I've taught a number of universities, and it's been the Atlantic and the Pacific and just every place, including being caught by a tornado in Kansas.
Oh, my goodness.
Could you take pictures of that and put it on Larry's website? That sounds like a great story.
I would love to see that.
That's an awesome story.
Okay, the question I have is its age and its use for many, many things, including honeymoon, come to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary, and if so, how could I add flotation material into the bow and the stern of the canoe under the assumption that this age, that flotation would have deteriorated or just washed away?
That's a great question. You can actually, I think, pull the end tanks up and peek underneath to see if there's still flotation there.
Yeah.
If there isn't, temporary solution is get some cans of Great Stuff foam,
mm-hmm,
and stick it under there and just pull the trigger until it oozes out the other side. That's pretty much what was there before. It's just styrofoam.
Yeah.
So give that a shot. But have you swamped the boat to see if it floats still?
I have. It floats.
Okay.
It floats. And in fact, it has floated with way over weight requirements, and it's worked. It's been a wonderful I also have three or four other boats, but you know, this is
This one you want
close to my heart.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Take pictures of it. I'd love to see them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Gene. Appreciate it. Terry in Menasha, we'll turn to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm over 300 pounds, mm-hmm. and I did remember I could canoe when I was a little bit less heavy. Can I kayak at this weight?
Absolutely. In fact, it's a great activity. I have a friend who, she's probably pushing 250, 260, and was having a hard time exercising because her knees and her hips just hurt. And so she wanted something to do to exercise, and this is a pretty much zero-impact sport, and it allows you to get a little bit of exercise without damaging your joints. And but, yeah, it's great.
My stomach gets in the way. Will that work with a kayak?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never found somebody that I couldn't fit in a kayak.
And are there two people kayaks?
Yes.
That could fit me and my husband?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Wow. You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Terry. You know what? I think you made a lot of people happy today.
Well, that's why I get up in the morning.
This is some great advice.
I think you too.
Great advice. And we've got, tell you what, Canoecopia coming up on March 8th. It's Friday, March 8th through the 10th. And I think this is the best thing. There's so much going on there with so many things, that which certainly came up today during the show. But go to the web. I think we have a link to it on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. But otherwise, just go to canoecopia.com.
And we're also on Facebook / Canoecopia, which is kind of cool because I'm putting little tidbits up every day of different speakers and sort of highlights. So if you like us at Canoecopia on Facebook, you'll get little updates all the time.
Oh, wonderful. Darren, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll see you at Canoecopia.
Great. Love it.
Really appreciate it. Darren Bush, our guest, says paddling is a lot of fun. Really can't wait for some warmer weather so I can get out on the water, too. But paddling works up an appetite, too. You might know that. Coming up next, we'll talk about a great Wisconsin way to take an edge off that hunger with cheese. Kirsten Jackson joins us to talk about her new book, It's Not You, It's Brie, Unwrapping America's Unique Culture of Cheese. So stay tuned right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.